Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Sunra, no co-host today, so riding solo on this Week 2 preview. So the Green Bay Packers this week will be having their home opener against the Detroit Lions, so two straight division games to start the season. As far as I'm concerned, I'd rather that be the case. Certainly last week talking about Minnesota and the rookies in the secondary. Looking at the Lions game log from last week, their third overall pick, Jeff Okuda, number one cornerback, didn't play. Hamstring injury, it appears, because he is on the injury participation list for the Lions. Full participant, though, so expect that he's going to play. If that's the case and he is tasked with shadowing Adams, that's back-to-back weeks that Adams gets rookie corners in making their NFL debuts. And no one on the Vikings, all due respect to them, is as talented as Jeff Okuda. There's a reason he went third overall. So we'll see. I don't know that Devontae Adams is catching 14 passes this week. Maybe he will, though. Maybe he'll catch more. Who knows? But Okuda will be tougher, but I think Adams is one of the best receivers in the league. So it's going to be, I think the pressure's all on the rookie to try and keep up. Trufant. I think that a little bit of a slip there, but Desmond Trufant is the other corner who I would, veteran corner they brought in formerly from the Falcons. If Okuda's not shadowing Adams, then maybe Trufant, but he didn't participate in Wednesday's practice with a hamstring injury. Same thing. They're strung up with those hamstrings. But I just watching the Bears Lions game. Notice that Trufant didn't, as the you would expect number one player with Okuda out, then clear number one corner, expect him to shadow Allen Robinson. But that wasn't the case. He, I saw him covering Miller. There's times where he was covering Robinson, but it looked like he just stayed to his side. And I wonder if that'll be the case with the Lions too, is, with Patricia's defensive scheme, is it going to be the corners are going to be to their sides? So once again, going into last week, I felt Devontae Adams is going to be key. Have a big game. I thought he was arguably the Packers' best player on the field, although there was definitely a lot that you could say. I mean, one thing about the reaction episode that Jesse and I recorded, we didn't mention David Bakhtiari once in that, I don't think, listening back through it. So he was perfect in that game. He just didn't make a mistake at all. Expect maybe the same thing, but this, I feel like the Lions' pass rush will be much more potent than what the Vikings had again. Danielle Hunter, who's been the key, I think, to the pass rush the last couple of years especially, but certainly a key component of a very impressive unit, but I think probably the most key component, he didn't play. And obviously he was going to be key this year just because of all the losses, Linval Joseph, Gerald Everett. One of the players they brought in just at the end of training camp was Yannick Ngakoue. He wasn't quite 100%, didn't play all the snaps against the Packers. Whether it was Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Ricky Wagner, whoever he was against, they all handled him pretty well. I don't know if that's going to be the case. That the Lions, certainly their pass rush, deadly with Trey Flowers. We saw last year, he was giving Bakhtiari problems at times. And I think Danny Shelton as well in the middle is going to give the interior of the line kind of some questions. So there's a lot going into that. I know they brought in Jamie Collins as well. So there's some key pass rushes here to this Lions defense. So clearly I'm starting Packers offense, Lions defense. That's how this one, this preview is starting. Thank you. Welcome everyone. I don't know why I said that. I guess I did. That's how I always start. But again, it all starts again up front for the Packers this week. I think the questions up front are certainly, again, mentioning that this pass rush for the Lions is going to be even more impressive than what we saw from the Vikings last week. So protection up front will be, key, I think, much more and much more important than it was before. So looking at the offensive line, obviously again there's a lot of shifting going on. Not really sure what it's going to look like. I think pretty safe to. I mean, we know David Bakhtiari is going to be at left tackle. Corey Linsley will be starting at center. I don't know the other three starters are, which isn't a bad thing because there is so much talent. I think that's it's the good problem to have. Problem is, though, the bad problem to have is that all the offensive linemen are on the injury participation list. So first off, we've got Elton Jenkins with an ankle injury, limited participant. I wouldn't worry about it. He'll be playing. Where he's playing is key, but as we were talking about in the recap, wherever Jenkins lines up, I think he'll be fine. He's the chess piece that they could move around and the line should maintain regardless. So, the other injuries on the line, you got Lucas Patrick, who did leave the Vikings game late in the second quarter, which is what prompted, again, Jenkins moving over to replace him at left guard and bringing Ricky Wagner in. He's participated in a limited fashion with that shoulder injury. Same thing with Billy Turner in terms of limited participation. He missed last week's game, dealing with an injury that stems from training camp. So he might play. I mean, they have Billy Turner listed as guard / tackle, whereas they have Elton Jenkins listed just as guard. Now, I wonder, maybe this has more to do with the next player I'm about to list, which is Lane Taylor. I know we were talking about how severe his injury is. Hasn't been placed on injured reserve yet, actually is on this injury list. Didn't participate with a knee injury. I doubt he plays. Again, this is based on Wednesday participation. So, we don't really get much information coming out of Wednesday, but I would be shocked if Lane Taylor plays. And I think that probably prompts Elton Jenkins to be starting at guard somewhere, whether it's left guard or right guard. I'm not really sure. So far, we've seen him play left guard basically for the Packers the entire time, or except for the brief stint at right tackle at the start of the Vikings game, which was I thought he played it very well first start at right tackle, I believe, ever. I'm not sure if he played much tackle in college. I remember the reports coming out of college, he could move all over the line, and he was actually considered a center more than anything. I think that's what the Packers originally envisioned him as, but slowly realized, man, he could potentially be our right tackle of the future again. I want to see it before you can throw someone like that. As great of a rookie season he did from a guard spot to go out and play right tackle full time. Need to see it more than just in one half of football. Again, against a pass rush that was limited. And I don't know if he's getting the chance this week. Again, they have him listed solely as guard, whereas Billy Turner, they have him listed as guard / tackle. I don't know. I think maybe with Lane Taylor's injury, what the Packers may want to do is realize that between Billy Turner and Ricky Wagner, that might be where the right tackle lies. And you leave Jenkins and presumably Lucas Patrick, if both are playing, both are healthy, you leave those two as your guards. And then between Billy Turner and Ricky Wagner, try and make it work at right tackle. I'm almost of the opinion, though, I don't know. I'm obviously not a coach. Really don't know offensive line well. I mean, I could ask Zach Bruner about all this, and I'm sure his answer would be also not, the most well informed, because we're not there. We're not seeing every day in practice what these offensive linemen are working on. But if Elton Jenkins really is capable of playing right tackle, in my mind, why not just put him there right now? And I think to be honest, that's what they did. They had him at right tackle to start week one. Maybe without Lane Taylor, that changes. Maybe Lane Taylor was the linchpin, that guard that they could really trust. Without him, I mean, guard play has been so important for the Packers throughout the last decade, at the very least, but certainly throughout history, as we've seen in the Look Pack series. And I feel like, without Patrick, they don't have that guard. Without Lane Taylor, they don't have that guard. Maybe, Lucas Patrick, again, I really like him. I think another one of these linemen that's coming into the last year of his contract. So beyond this year, we'll see what happens. But with him as, him as the, let's presume Lane Taylor's out. Lucas Patrick, Billy Turner as a guard. You don't really get that key, that one guard that can just really roadblock for you through the middle. So maybe they think they want Jenkins there this year. And again, Turner, Wagner. So, but I think the combinations could be, And one thing that the Packers could do, I don't know that they're probably not going to do this, but they could just shift things around constantly. It probably creates more of a headache for the offense than it does a mismatch for the defense or confuses the defense. So you're probably better off just finding the five you like and going with those five. So we'll see we'll see who's healthy, because I think that's really key. I mean, if Patrick and Turner are both out, I mean, clearly then Wagner's starting at tackle and Jenkins has to be at guard at that point. But if both are healthy, I think, if both Patrick and Turner are healthy, I think you have an interesting question there of Jenkins at tackle. And I think we might see it. It'll certainly be, again, welcome to the NFL if he's having to guard Trey Flowers one-on-one, or not welcome to the NFL, but welcome to right tackle, welcome to the edge. He could face off against Trey Flowers, or he may end up facing off against Jamie Collins. Do wonder, you know, if Ricky Wagner gets tasked with Trey Flowers, I wonder if that gives Wagner an edge because he knows him, or does it give Trey Flowers an edge because he's, you know, they've lined up against in practice and he knows how to beat Wagner. So I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know if the Packers maybe have an answer to that or not. Maybe Jenkins is better to throw in there against Flowers. Flowers doesn't have, you know, really any experience playing against him. To be honest, Flowers may end up coming off the blind side most times anyway, and just it'll be him and Bakhtiari locking horns as always. So curious to see how the offensive line is going to operate for the Packers. Moving elsewhere in the offense, I mean, again, running back kind of went as predicted. Maybe I think the one thing, maybe a little more Tyler Irving than I was expecting. He looked good though. So if the Packers have four running backs on tap, they're gonna play all of them, and we'll see who produces the best. I mean, I think clearly Aaron Jones is still the guy the leader. Not really a workhorse, doesn't necessarily play on the field enough to be considered that, but does receive a lot of valuable touches. 7 red zone opportunities. For reference sake, in week one, the players with the most red zone opportunities had 10. So he was not far off from the league leads. Led the league in red zone targets with 4. Carries inside the 3, was tied for third place with a few players at 3. So especially in the red zone, it seems like Aaron Jones was still the guy there. So I expect that'll be the case. I think the running defense should be, the run offense should be a bit better. The run defense of the Lions, not quite as potent. You know, Eric Kendricks was on fire in that Vikings game. So maybe more, and with the pass rush, I think maybe being more of a threat, this could be a game where the Packers kind of try and force the issue, just try and run the football more. Unless, again, seems like the last few years, it's just getting down early against the Lions and having a comeback last second. If that's the case, obviously they're going to be throwing more. But if they can get an early lead with the run game, so I think early on, expect to see a lot of Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Tyler Irving, maybe even A.J. Dillon gets in there. I did like the way the rookie looked on the, I think he played 5 plays and got a couple carries, looked like he had burst. Clearly in the plans to do something this year. At receiver, just go and look back at the injury reports. Equanimeous St. Brown, limited participation with a knee injury. Didn't hear much about this last week. It seemed more like a healthy scratch inactive, but maybe there was injury related. So we'll see again what happens with him. Did seem like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he made the catches. But I think the way, you know, Valdes-Scantling, except one, but most of his targets came, you know, deep down the field, that using his speed to stretch the field. They did run that one kind of flat crossing route with him, which he dropped the target on. So somewhat, you could see LaFleur designing him plays to get open, but they did the same with Alan Lazard. A couple of rushing attempts, or at least one rushing attempt, and then the one sort of forward pass that's just it's barely a forward pass. It's more of a forward handoff, which counts as a reception. So he had that as well. So clearly Matt LaFleur is designing specific ways to get Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling the football. Obviously, designing plays to just have Adams line up anywhere, and Adams will just get open at will, it seems. But I think it's, you know, the hierarchy of targets kind of establishing itself well. Equanimeous St. Brown, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Lazard, and are the you know, who's the 2, who's the 3, not sure, but, you know, Aaron Jones or whoever's at running back will always command just as many targets. I believe Jones and Valdes-Scantling tied for second place on the team in targets last week. So it's going to be like, you know, that group of 4 essentially. Adams, Jones, Valdes-Scantling, and Lazard probably. Did see, it's funny, Robert Tonyan played the most snaps out of any tight end and he didn't even see a target, which A shows that he's improved as improving as a blocker. Again, converted wide receiver. The idea with him is he's just the move tight end. He's not really going to be your blocking guy, but he's come in and you know, played pretty well. You know, didn't get mentioned much during the broadcast, but again, the blocking tight ends rarely do they? So yeah, so looking good for Robert Tonyan, who really needs to prove himself as a complete tight end, I believe, entering the final year of his contract. So this is more, I mean, obviously trying to prove himself to the Packers, but really trying to prove himself to the whole league that he can play a pure tight end position. So good for that. But it seems like right off the bat, trying to get the rookie Deshai Adeguara involved in the passing game. So we'll see if that continues. I know they connected once, I believe. Is actually really encouraging to see the rookie play so well right off the bat. I know that they had the one play to Sternberger, the one target deep on a wheel route that just couldn't connect on it. Well covered as well. Probably Eric Kendricks again, since he was everywhere. I can't remember exactly who was covering, but I believe it was Eric Kendricks. So I feel like the receiving options are certainly there. I think that the real question this game is, withstanding this pass rush that's going to come from all over the place. Again, we mentioned, you know, talked about Ereck Flowers, Jamie Collins, but Danny Shelton from the defensive and the entire interior of that defense, Deshaun Hand. I mean, that's where, again, depending on who's playing guard, could be an issue, maybe not. I probably speak for my co-host in that we probably, none of us want Billy Turner to start. But you know, he might, but who knows? We're going to get answers probably when we find out who's starting everywhere, really. But even through Friday, once we know who's expected to play and who's expected to be healthy enough to play. And then from there, knowing who the starters are, will come afterwards. Moving over to the defense, again, most of the Packers' injuries on the injury report are on the defense, on the offense. So on the defense, you have Clark didn't practice with that groin strain, or groin injury. Don't know if it's a tear. I haven't really mentioned it. Also, Randy Ramsey, I believe, missed last week with his groin injury. Same thing. Oren Burks, full participation coming off the groin injury. So he may actually get on the field. I know we mentioned Chris Barnes looked pretty good in having to play snaps. We'll see if Burks gets on the field next to Kirksey and how if he does get healthy through the week. So Kenny Clark, that's the big issue. And then Montrevious Adams, limited participant with a toe injury, so was inactive last week, which is kind of the problem. But I felt so the you know in, very initially the Packers tried to, okay, we're not going to replace Clark, we're going to play a totally different defense, we're just going to get the best players out there, played kind of basically without a nose tackle, and it didn't quite work. They were getting gashed right up the middle. So bringing in Kingsley Keke, I can't remember who was playing the nose. I think they just moved Lancaster to the nose into the middle and then had Keke and Dean Lowry at on the ends. That seemed to work better. I don't know if Adams gets healthy, you know, and Clark isn't able to play. Maybe Adams gets on the field more. But I feel like that three is probably the main three. Only other defensive player listed on the injury report, so outside of the everyone we've mentioned so far, been in the front seven, but Raven Green, essentially the dime safety, quadricep injury, practice limited fashion, so again expected to play. He didn't play all that much. I think that might also be the types of formations that the Vikings run. And the type, I mean, they didn't really run that many plays. A lot of run-heavy plays, two tight end sets, stuff, things that are, you know, ask for more linebackers, perhaps. Although the Packers are one team that does kind of like to cover tight ends with safeties more. I guess I'm trying to think how the Lions would approach. Seems like the Lions, I mean, they have obviously TJ Hawkinson, but... it does seem like, I mean, Jesse, I remember seeing the snap counts, Hawkinson, Jesse, James, I think it was about a 60-40 split on snaps. So it's not as if they're going to use two tight end sets very often. So I don't know that this is necessarily a heavy game for Raven Green anyway, but obviously would like to him to not be hurt. I'd like everyone to not be hurt and everyone to be all, you know, fine and well. But again, everything rests right now on Kenny Clark, I think. We saw how effective the defense was with him, not as effective without him. So if he's out, I think it's a really great game in store for the Lions run offense. Adrian Peterson, I remember a couple years ago gashing the Packers defense on behalf of Washington to a victory that was I don't know. That wasn't very good. I wasn't really happy with losing to that team. It's not a whole lot of talent. And some might say that about Detroit. I mean, you look at their records last couple of years, you could certainly say that. But without Kenny Clark, I do feel as though the Packers' defense is really vulnerable to Adrian Peterson in that type of attack. We'll see if DeAndre Swift can. I know he made some mistakes in that Bears game, but if he can recover, he got the goal line carry as well for the Lions when they were inside the five. So Swift might have a big game against the Packers. So it's going to be, you know, if Clark's out, it just puts more pressure on everyone else, especially the Za'Darius Smith. Clark commanding double teams last week was when all the action happened. On Jair Alexander's safety when he sacked Kirk Cousins for a safety in the end zone, Clark was double teamed, made so that the extra attention couldn't be given to the edge. Za'Darius Smith had a key sack on third down. Clark was double teamed. And it's again leading to that. So without no one else on the Packers, none of those, Dean Lowry is, you know, probably the best defensive lineman they have outside of Clark. Dean Lowry doesn't command double teams. He's, you know, he's not up to that level. So it's going to be tough all around for the defense to get extra pressure, to stop the run game as effectively. So this might be another game, just like we saw last week, the Packers have to score 43 points to win. But might be another one where they have to score 35 plus in order to secure a victory. So having Clark back would certainly help, but it would certainly make that not the case. A not participation on Wednesday isn't a death sentence in terms of playing on Sunday. It's not great though. Again, we see the three players who did not participate were Clark, Randy Ramsey, and Lane Taylor. I would obviously say Lane Taylor the longest shot to play, but Ramsey missed last week. So is Clark in between them? Is he worse off than Ramsey because Ramsey's a week removed from the injury which occurred a couple weeks ago? So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Great preview, right? Telling you about all the injuries, but the truth is, you know, one thing we can, of course, preview is coverage-wise, how are the Packers going to approach the Lions? And I think back to last year. And I mean, so the one other injury to kind of talk about is Kenny Golladay on the Lions. Hamstring injury, didn't participate last week, didn't participate today, missed last week against the Bears. You know, from what I remember when the Lions played the Packers, Golladay was actually mostly covered by Jair Alexander, which I didn't, you know, body type wise isn't the greatest matchup for Alexander. Golladay can make those contested catches, really strong, tall receiver. Not, you know, he can make those catches over Alexander, even if Alexander's got perfect coverage and in the right spots. So was not a fan of that matchup necessarily. And then Marvin Jones, which puts Marvin Jones against Kevin King, and we know how great Marvin Jones is at running deep routes. You know, I think I've talked enough about how Kevin King isn't great at running those deep routes with receivers. So just in my mind, that's the mismatch of Jones should be able to get past Kevin King with ease, and Golladay can be able to catch over Alexander. So I personally would rather see the opposite, even though Alexander, the best corner, you'd think he'd go on the team's best receiver of Golladay. But especially if Golladay is not healthy, not 100%, I think it makes it better for Kevin King to go on and get Alexander to try and take out Marvin Jones. Now, if Golladay is gone altogether, maybe they identify Jones as the number one guy and have Jair Alexander not shadow. And we saw with Thielen last week, Alexander didn't technically shadow him. He just, if he was on the outside, he stuck with him on the outside. But when Adam Thielen went into the slot on his first touchdown of the game, when he was in the slot, it was not Alexander covering him who just stuck to the perimeter, even though, again, not going to shadow the guy, even though clearly identified Adam Thielen as the alpha in the Vikings offense. Obviously, the Vikings did. They targeted him so much, at least relative to the rest of the team. But Alexander still didn't follow him into the slot, even though Alexander, you know, when he's had to play in the slot, I don't think he was out of his element. I know last year with Tremont Williams there, he was excelling so much in the slot that Alexander really didn't go there, but ended up with Channon Sullivan on Adam Thielen, and what do you know, touchdown. So I don't think that fear is necessarily there with Jones. So again, if Kenny Golladay's out and you identify Marvin Jones as as the alpha. It makes all the sense in the world for Alexander to just stick on him the entire game, assuming Jones is staying on the perimeter, and it kind of, I guess, forces things towards the Hawkinson matchup against either Adrian Amos or Danelle Savage. Just receiver-wise, I know there's the rookie Quintez Cephus, so I suppose, you know, Golladay being out really helps the Packers in that, okay, you could put, you know, Cephus, kind of looking like a strong guy, or Marvin Hall. Kevin King might be able to hang with those young receivers. You'd probably get Chan Sullivan to cover Danny Amendola, assuming Amendola's playing in the slot most of the time. I believe he missed last week's game, though, or he was injured going into last week's game, so not 100%. So, again, be an easier task for Chan and Sullivan. Just trying to think about slot receivers last week for the Vikings. Again, Jefferson played a little bit there. Didn't really have much success. I could see, again, so I prefer if Alexander actually covered Marvin Jones, regardless of if Kenny Golladay is playing or not. I think it's far more likely to happen if Golladay is out, but even with Golladay in at not 100%, I'd like to see if Kevin King can take that. At least hold him in check if Golladay is not 100% and able to use his full force. My fear is, though, you know, Golladay plays, Alexander will get him, and then Marvin Jones could just feast on Kevin King. So I guess that's kind of my fear on how this game might go. Again, especially if the Packers get an early lead and the Lions really can't run the football much and are forced to just throw it up. I do get the sense both teams are going to probably want to try to run the football more in these deadly pass. You know, for the Lions, that's taking advantage of Kenny Clark not being there and just exploiting that weakness. And for the Packers, I think it's the interest to do that is to try and avoid this pass rush. Again, on an offensive line that has a lot of talent, but will be shifting around that talent in unsure ways. So, you know, without knowing exactly how those offensive line combinations are going to look like, it will be tough to know for sure. Again, obviously the Packers know what they're going to be doing with their plans, even though they have plans. They don't know exactly who's going to be healthy enough to play. It seems like, again, the ones in further risk of not playing are obviously Lane Taylor, Randy Ramsey, and Kenny Clark. So outside of Taylor, the other three offensive linemen, Jenkins, Patrick, and Turner, again, expecting to play. Jenkins, I don't know if the ankle injury happened during the game or during practice. Should be fine. It's really Patrick had to leave the game with an injury and Billy Turner missed last week. So it's which one of them is returning. If it's both, it gives the Packers options with where they can move Elton Jenkins. If only one's back, then I think it clearly puts Jenkins at guard. Again, maybe it doesn't matter. And with Lane Taylor out, it's Jenkins at guard. The only thing that's going to prevent Jenkins from playing guard is if Lane Taylor's in there and they feel comfortable enough with at least one guard at a certain level to put Jenkins onto the outside. So, again, I'm not the Packers offensive line coach, so we're going to have to find out watching on Sunday. So, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for listening to this preview of the Full Press Packers podcast. Again, week 2 preview. Home debut for the 2020 Green Bay Packers, taking on the division rival Detroit Lions. I was going to say both teams are 1-0, but no, the Lions lost last minute. Loss, which, again, seems like the 2019 Lions all over again. Packers swept them. So in one sense, last year, I would say hopefully it's a repeat of 2019, but really, I mean, the Packers didn't lead either game until Crosby kicked game-winning field goals as time expired, so would rather win a little more comfortably than that, but wins are wins, so hopefully the Packers get them this week, and hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. If you want to give us feedback, you can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers, and you can follow me at Senra Says. Also, be sure to download the Full Press Coverage app, available on Android or Apple stores for free. Get access to all of our written content. I know Sam just released an excellent game recap of the Vikings game from week 1, so check that out if you get the Full Press Coverage app, as well as all of our podcasts, access to the Full Press Radio Network as well. So, on behalf of my co-hosts who aren't here, Jesse and Sam, I'd like to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Full Press Packers Pod.